So spiritual but not religious. Has anybody ever heard that? Has anybody ever told you that? Yeah. Anybody ever said that? Yeah. All right. That's okay. So, what do we mean when we say that? Anybody? Anybody want to offer? What's the meaning of that? I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious.
Huh? Maybe like I believe in God, but I'm not identifying with any particular group.
Right. I'm not identifying with my own. I'm identifying with my own path, not any particular group. I want to take a picture, so. Everybody smile and say home. They actually tried to do it. It works every time. All right, again, smile and say home. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Now I'm going to go tell everybody. I'm going to put this on my Facebook page. And say, these people were smiling and trying to say, "Oh." Okay. All right. Yeah. So what we're talking about, Melissa, was exactly right. We get that way because sometimes we maybe invest our faith in a path, and I'm not going to pick on any particular path, but we invest our faith in a particular direction and it just seems like it doesn't pay off the way we expected it to. And maybe we do that more than once. Maybe we have some people that we have respect for that are religious icons or whatever, and they seem to let us down. So I think, well, you know what, I think I'm going to do this on my own, you see. So, and that's understandable, but let's put it in perspective. If, who was it? Mark Twain, the great writer Mark Twain, had this quote of saying that anyone who defends himself in a court of law has a fool for an attorney, you see. Well, you could say, yeah, but I've had attorneys before and they all cheated me. You know, I don't think that I'm going to get my money's worth out of an attorney, see. So I'm going to defend myself, you see. We can feel like that. However, is that the best thing to do? So we have to analyze, what is it that makes us want to be spiritual but not follow a particular path? You see, what is that? It's this, according to the Vedas, we're misusing our minute amount of independence that we have as living entities. Now, we have a minute amount, a small amount of independence, but how could we be completely independent from God? Everything comes from Him. You see, God is the source of everything. So whatever energy we need to exist comes from Him. So we can't be completely independent. That's like my finger. If my finger says, well, I want to be independent, you see. If it becomes independent, if I cut it off, the rest of my body will do fine, but the finger will wither and decay, you see. So we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So we can't really be totally independent. However, He gives us some independence, and it manifests in what fashion, what form? Does anybody know? What is the manifestation of the independence that you have? Free will, exactly. You have freedom of choice. You have freedom to make your own decisions. God does not say, you had better make this decision or I'm really going to get mad and I'm going to hit you with a thunderbolt or whatever. He likes it. He wants you to be, to make your own decisions. You see? This is necessary for Him to have the relationship with you that He wants to have. In other words, He wants you to be a volunteer. He wants you to love Him, but on a voluntary basis, not on a forced basis. He doesn't want to try to scare you. You know, no scare tactics. Could if He wanted to. But He's smart enough to know that's not love. That's not the kind of love that I want. I want you to want me. You because of me, of who I am. God wants you to love him for who he is, not for what he might do to you. So, I've got a scripture that I want to read from Bhagavad Gita, which deals with this topic. Anybody have any comments or questions up to this point? Feel free. This is kind of a deep subject. And I hope nobody gets angry with me because some people really are attached to their own process. Now, before I read this, let me say something. what are we actually saying when we say, I have my own way? I have my own style, my own method. I'm spiritual but not religious, meaning I've come up with my own, which is very, this is very common. Is it really my own? Totally mine? I've concocted all of it? Or have I taken a little piece from you? And I like you and you seem kind of smart, so I'm taking some of your philosophy that I've heard from you, and but I don't want to go all... There's some stuff about your philosophy I don't like, and I like some of his. And so I take a little bit from here and there, you see, and I put it all together into a bouquet of... philosophies, and then I call it mine. You know, I put my name on it. It's my own thing. You see, so it's a hodgepodge, really, of different philosophies. You see, that do we agree with that, or am I wrong? I mean, maybe you have your own path, and you think, no, it's all mine. I invented every bit of it. Nobody has ever heard of it before. It's all mine. I have a patent on it. And it's copyrighted, see? So, let's just say that we want to take a trip across the desert. We want to go to Los Angeles. We're going to travel on the freeway. And you need to buy another car because your car is not going to make it. All right? So you need another car. So I'm trying to sell you a car. And you say, well, what kind of car is it? Is it a Ford? Well, yeah, kind of. Well, is it a Toyota? Well, yeah, I mean, it's got... I started out with a Ford engine, and I put some Toyota pistons in it. You know, they fit, so I put the Toyota pistons, and it's got a Chevy fuel injector and a Dodge intake system, and it's got a Chrysler cooling system, and the transmission is a Kia, and... you know, the body was a Toyota, but the doors are... One door, it's four doors. Each door is from a different manufacturer. But I'm telling you, this is great. The reason why I don't say it is or isn't Ford, it's kind of like my own. It's my own deal. I put it all together. Trust me. This will get you there. What's your knee-jerk reaction to that?
No, thanks.
No, thanks. You keep your car, your hodgepodge. You see, I don't think it's going to be a vehicle that's going to get me to Los Angeles. So if I'm trying to sell you or influence you into a particular philosophy to take the trip back to God, back home, back to Godhead, the first thing you want to say is, hey, where'd you get this? You know, well, I just pulled it out of my sleeve. I just, well, I'll put it back. You know? I mean, unless you can... walk on water or do some, you know, if you can prove to me that you're divine, then I'll buy into your philosophy. If you are divine. But if you're not, give me something that is divine. In other words, I think you're a nice guy, but I don't know if you know God. Okay? You see? Now, some people say, but it's my philosophy. It's just mine, and I'm not trying to sell it to anybody. All right. Let's see what Krishna says. It's always nice to see what Krishna says. Krishna has a very interesting spin on this. This is Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, text 21. I'll read the Sanskrit and then the translation. Yad yad archarati srishtas tattara vetaro janaha sayat pranam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Translation. Whatever a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Now, don't you think you'd be a great person if you had a formula to free you from the ocean of birth and death? If you cooked it up, wouldn't you be great? You'd be a great person. So you'd have to be up there with Gandhi or beyond, right? So if you really have such a philosophy, then you would be a great person. So if you can influence others by your conviction and your philosophy that you've conceived on your own, you will have people that will follow you. This happens. We've seen people create new religions in our lifetime. We've seen religions come and go, concoctions and whatever, you see. So if you do concoct something, and you start to tout it even the slightest bit, you might get people that will follow you. And now, you've taken responsibility for their future, you see. Because you've got something that's all new, and you're saying, well, it's one thing if you're gambling yourself. But if you're gambling other people, is it really worth it? So it's a little self-centered if we think, well, I can cook up my own religion. I can find my own path. It's a little self-centered. Has anybody here ever felt self-centered? Yeah. This picture that I just took of all of us, when I pass it around, who's the first person you're going to look for?
Ourselves.
We're a little self-centered, okay? So we need to get over that and start to think about the benefit and the welfare of others, you say. But we want to save the planet, but yet I'm self-centered. Now, I really do want to save the planet, but I really am self-centered. So if I'm going to save the planet or anybody else, I have to get a little less self-centered. I have to start caring and have compassion for my fellow man and fellow living entities, not just the human beings, you see. If I'm really sincere about wanting to save anybody, save the planet, save the animals, save whatever, save the whales, then I have to get pretty sincere and I have to have some compassion, which means I start giving more compassion and have less self-centeredness on myself and take this responsibility. It's a responsibility that we have. Okay? Now here's what Srila Prabhupada, my guru, says in the purport of this verse. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of the revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manusmita and similar others, are considered to be the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of state, the father, and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with the standard books of moral and spiritual codes. You see? So, this is kind of telling me that if I'm going to say, well, I have my own religion, I've concocted my own way, then I should never have children. I mean, if I did, look at the gamble. If I'm taking a gamble for me, am I going to take a gamble for my children and say, well, this is how it really is, my dear son and my dear daughter? Oh, Dad, that sounds interesting. Where did you get that? Got it right here. I got a little piece over there, and some over there, and some over there. I put it all together, you see. So, you can see the responsibility that father has to children, or any type of teacher has to their subject. And someone who is touting religion is a teacher. So they have a great responsibility. Okay? So, any questions or comments at this point? Come on, somebody. Surely somebody's got a question. Yes?
Just to help you out or go along with this, I was thinking about how a lot of these teachings that people come up with, they may pull them from different sources, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like an example of the Vedas, they're extremely in-depth and vast and so on, and so you can pull different parts of the Vedas and come up with a certain teaching, and so that could very well be on one hand sort of a concoction, but on the other hand something that's valuable and worthwhile.
A bona fide concoction.
Yeah, or it could be wrong too.
Yeah.
Mix things in the wrong way and it doesn't work.
It's bona fide incorrect. Bonafidely wrong, whatever. You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah, exactly. Another thing that this signifies is that we have an impression of the Supreme as not having, as they say, a dog in the fight. You know, you ever heard that term, having a dog in the fight? Meaning, in other words, God doesn't have anything to do with this. You see, I'm going to choose my own way. Now, why not listen to him? I'm just saying. There's got to be a reason why we decide, well, I'm not going to listen to him. He's got all these scriptures. You know, there's the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the list goes on and on. We have a line of disciplic succession going back to Krishna himself. You see, our policy is that we follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That's called anusilina. You see, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So those that achieved spiritual perfection, we wonder, what did they do? What did they think? What was their philosophy? You see? See what a bold step it is if I say, I don't care about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or I don't care about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, all the great previous acharyas. I'm going to do something that I think is comfortable for me. You see? I'm going to overlook their greatness. You see? In other words, are we thinking that someday we're going to actually come eye to eye with God? Are we really thinking about that? Or are we keeping them kind of in an impersonal situation? In other words, it's easy for me to think like this if God is really just energy. You see? If I deny the Supreme a personality and a form. And in other words, if I'm saying he's not a person, what to speak of the Supreme Person, he's just energy, light, you know. Well, then I can write any kind of book I want, because I don't have to worry about displeasing or pleasing this energy. How do you please or displease energy? Can you make electricity happy? Can you make it angry? You know, if somebody turns a bright light in your face, can you make it happy or unhappy? Can you have a relationship with it? Can the bright light say to you, you know what, you're wrong. You've displeased me. No. The electricity can't say that. So, if I feel that way, even subtly, and a lot of times we have a subtle feeling that since I've never shaken hands with God, I'm not even sure He has a hand. You know? And if He doesn't have a form and a personality, then I don't have to worry about Him or it. Let's take away the Him. There's no form and there's no personality. It is an it. And I don't have to worry about it asking me to do anything. Especially, I don't have to worry about it asking me to do anything I don't want to do for it. You see? If I don't care about it asking me to do something I don't want it to do for it, you see what I mean? Well, then it can't get angry. It can't be pleased. It's just there. It's doing its job and giving me the energy to exist. But I'm never going to embrace its form because it doesn't have one. And it doesn't have a personality, so it is not expecting anything of me. And I don't have to worry about making it happy. See how convenient that is if we accept the Supreme as energy? It is very convenient. That's why it's so popular. I mean, it makes life so easy. It is just energy.
It makes life so easy.
Huh?
It makes life so easy.
Yeah, it makes so life so easy. You see? The responsibility of worrying about what it wants. It doesn't want anything. He might want something, but it, you see? It is never going to tell me, why did you do that silly philosophy thing? Boy, I'm telling you, you had a piece of this and a piece of that, and none of it was working together. Oh, you silly person. You see? I'm not going to let it have a face or a voice. I'm going to keep it where it belongs. You know? Which kind of puts me a little bit on an equal basis with it. See how convenient this is? This philosophy of impersonalism, the Mayavad philosophy, is so convenient. If it doesn't really have a say in the matter, then I can be on the same level, or I could maybe, dare I say, be even a little bit better. Huh? As a matter of fact, maybe I am it. Huh? Whoa, now that's potent stuff. See, if I take away the personality from the Supreme, and then I can concoct whatever I want. But as soon as I give a personality to the Supreme, then I have to find out what He would like. You see? And I find out that I delight in pleasing Him. And I want to hold His hand. I actually want to reach out and take His hand. You see, I want to embrace Him. I want to smell His hair, which must smell like forest flowers. You see, I want to get His opinion on so many things. I want to sit and talk with Him and say, you know, why did I make so many mistakes? How can I correct what I've misunderstood? Wouldn't that be better than thinking I'm part of it? We are part of Him. We're part and parcel of Krishna. You see? But at the same time, we are individuals. We are part and parcel. We cannot change that. And He will never change that, that you will never be part of Him. You see? That is your constitutional position. So, any questions or comments?
How do you know that they'll never change that? That you will not, I mean, how, maybe one day he'll just say, no, you're not part of me anymore.
Well, I guess he could, but he's got this love affair going on. His feeling of love for you is so deep that he knows you as you really are. Right now, we're confused and we're covered over, you see. Right now, in our current situation, we might believe that he could or would do that, you see. Because we see that I'm not a good friend to him. And I haven't been a good friend. I haven't been a good lover, you see. We know inside. We know our own faults. And we're thinking, boy, he sees this side of me, and he might. But once we get purified of this consciousness of thinking that we're the body, or that we've had this, that are giving so much importance to this life that we've had, once we get over that, once we find out who we really are, once we become self-realized, we'll realize that what reason would he ever have? Could he? He can do anything. But why would he? Because he loves you. He feels that you complete him. You see? And all living entities, he feels that way about us. We don't feel that way about him yet. We're on that path, you see. And when we get to the point where we feel that way about him, when we achieve a perfect love for God, then we'll understand, you see, that he wouldn't. We're so dear to him, you see. Until we get there, we may have some doubts about how he might feel about us, you see. I mean, why would he like me? You know? I mean, I'm the guy who did, you fill in the blank here. You know? And then so there's a lot of things that you could write, but that's negative. That's, anything that's happened in the past has been stolen by time. You don't have it anymore. The mistakes that you made, you don't have them. They're gone. They've been devoured by time. Every mistake that you made, every offense that you've created, everything that you've done incorrectly, and everything that anybody has done to you, that's all gone. Where is it? You can't touch it. You can't put a hand on it. It's been swallowed by time. You see? All we have is right now and where we're going. All right, according to the old clock on the wall, it's time to wind it up, and let's have kirtan. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for coming.